morning. Please turn to Psalm 119, and we're going to read one verse from Psalm 119. There's 176 verses, so we will stick with one this morning. Psalm 119, verse 132. Verse 132 says, "Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name." This is God's word. I love this simple petition of Psalm 119, and there's many petitions, many prayers that are brought forth in Psalm 119. And one of the reasons I love this verse is because the psalmist is expressing his confidence in the goodness of God. You notice he's saying, "Lord," it's a very simple prayer, be merciful to me. But he grounds the prayer upon the foundational truth that God's customary way of working towards his people is that goodness. He says, as is your custom with those who love your name. He says, this is the way you work, Lord. You show grace to those who love you. You show mercy upon undeserving sinners who come to you in faith. That's how you work. And so I want to bring this verse to bear on our hearts, because there are times at which we doubt God's goodness toward us in particular. There's a couple reasons that we may doubt God's goodness. One of the reasons, first, is we have sometimes a lack of spiritual sensitivity to see God's goodness. And we sometimes complain. And when we complain, we make it very difficult for ourselves to see God's goodness, because we are focused upon what we think should be a different way. When you complain, it's as if you take a pair of glasses and you drop them into a bucket of mud and then put them back on, thus making it impossible to see God's goodness as we are harping on all the things that we think are not good. So that's one of the things, that's one of the reasons, is we lack the sensitivity, we lack the eyes to see, we may grumble and thus not see the goodness of God. But listen to another verse from Psalm 119. If you ever get into that rut and you're thinking, "I don't see God's goodness, it's just, it's nowhere to be seen in my life," listen to Psalm 119, verse 64. "The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes." Okay, so the earth is full of God's mercy and you can't see it? That's not good. That's an indication of a heart problem, isn't it? If we can't see the goodness and the mercy of God, of which the earth is full, oh, we need a transformed heart. We need a renewed eyes to see the goodness of God. So that's one of the reasons, is we sometimes lack the eyes to see. But another reason is that we begin to interpret the existence of difficulties and hardships in our life as evidence that God is not good to us. It may be even like any difficulty and hardship, we say, "Oh, God's not being good to me." And Job faced this temptation, right? I mean, he had more than one trial come upon him. He lost so much, and so his wife said, "Well, you need to just curse God and die. That's what you should conclude. That's how you just need to end all of this." And what did Job say? He says, "Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity also?" Job wasn't questioning the goodness of God, but he's saying, "God has given me these things that are pleasurable and good and desirable, but yet there's hard things, and yet God has sent both. Shall I not accept both from his hand?" He never questioned God's goodness. It says in Job that he did not sin with his mouth in all that he said. But now, if you survey Psalm 119, you'll find dozens of references to hardship in the psalm. So obviously, it would be very wrong for us to say that the existence of hardships and difficulties cancels out the goodness of God, or means that there is not goodness that God is showing to us. Far from it. If you look through Psalm 119, he says a number of things about his trials. He says he was dealing with persecution from princes and kings speaking against him. That's hard. He says his soul clings to the dust in Psalm 119. That's hard. He calls himself a stranger on the earth, but then he also confesses this. He says, "I know, Lord, that in faithfulness you have afflicted me." That's important to consider. It is important that when we are going through hardships and difficulties, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Of course, I'm sure there's going to be many ways in which we can still see the goodness of God as we go through those difficulties, and yet when we fail to see them, we must confess with the psalmist, "You are good, Lord, and you do good." This is the rock-solid and infallible declaration of God's word that we must hold on to even when we can't feel it and when we don't think we can see it, that God is good to us. So how does this verse help us to pray then as we ask God for mercy and favor? It helps us to have confidence in prayer as we ask for God's mercy because we know that this is how God works towards those who love Him. We don't have to doubt that. We have it established upon good custom that if we come to God in faith and we ask Him for mercy, that He will show us mercy. Let me paraphrase for you the sense of this verse as I understand it. I'm just going to add some language here just to express what I think the sentiment is. Here's what I think he's saying. Lord, it is foreign to your nature not to be good. You are a good God, and you have shown by long-established custom toward every single one of your servants that you are a good God. Therefore, I will not judge according to my own reason or my own sight. I ask, Lord, that you act towards me as you have acted toward every single one of your other servants who have loved you from the foundation of the world. That's, I think, what he's expressing. He's saying, God, I've seen your faithfulness from the beginning to the end towards all your servants, and so I do not doubt that you will be good to me. It's your custom. Sometimes we get into this very wrong way of thinking, this very bad theology, and we say, I think God's good about 5 to 10% of His servants. And I'm probably in the 90 to 95% category. He's not going to be good to me. I'll perish that thought, brothers and sisters. May we never think that way. May we never go down that road. It's a terrible thing when we start to make up our own theology by our own feelings. Please don't construct your theology upon how you feel and what you see. Go to the Word of God. And when it says, you are good and you do good, this is what we must believe. Do you view God as one who is occasionally good to His children, but negligent some of the time, unaware, lacking concern for you? Oh, that's not what the Word of God says. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 68. So simple. That's what I love about Psalm 119, and this verse in particular is so simple. You are good, Lord, and you do good. Teach me your statutes. So this morning, as we confess our sins, we can confess those times, whether it's the present or has been in the past, that we've doubted God's goodness. We've concluded based on our own interpretation of the situation whether God is being good to us or not, but the Scriptures tell us He is good to His servants. And so let's go to this time of confession and come knowing that we come to the throne of grace. Here we find help in time of need, and we come by faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is our great high priest, who is our redemption, and through whom we have the forgiveness of sins. And so we come with that confidence. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we confess with the psalmist, you are good, and you do good. We praise you for your everlasting and infinite goodness. And we're thankful that it is your way, it is your custom, your pattern of working to be good to your people. We thank you for the testimonies of your goodness that we see throughout the Scriptures and the testimonies of goodness that we can see in our own lives. And we ask, Lord, that you'd give us the eyes to see these things. If we are struggling right now to see the goodness of God, I pray that you would give us the ability to see it and to feel it, and to praise you for it. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.